Welcome to Alien Theorist Theorizing. We've got a special interview episode tonight. I'm Braden.
I'm Zell.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Andrew.
And tonight we're welcoming to the show host of Who Are the Aliens? The History of the Anunnaki on Planet Earth. We got Mad Mark joining us today. Mad Mark, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me be here. I appreciate it. Looking forward to it.
I've got to tell you a little tidbit of how we found you. Probably like a month ago, a couple people started sending your reels over to us to be like, you got to get this guy in the show.
Oh, really?
And I saw it. YouTube reels? Yeah, on Instagram. And so I would see it and I would go, oh, this guy's awesome. And so I'd watch it. And then, looked at your Instagram, impressive following. You're doing some good work there. And I was like, oh, you know what? We'll reach out. I'll reach out eventually. And then a couple more people, the last couple weeks sent one. And then one of our longtime listeners, who always talks shit. He's always a shit disturber.
I like the mongoose hat there. That's awesome. That is really cool.
Thank you.
I need a hat like that.
Absolutely.
But he sent it to us and I was like, you know what? I'm going to reach out today. And I reached out and you got back to me within like an hour. I was like, oh man. I was like, that was one of the easier guest books of all time.
Yeah. Well, hey, if you think I'm doing good on Instagram, you ought to see my Facebook. We're almost up to 100,000 on there.
Whoa.
What's the secret?
Yeah, it's just kicking ass. And I got a new show coming out. I post a new show every 2 weeks. It's not a weekly. There's no way I can by myself do a weekly show. But I got a new one coming out this Saturday that is just going to, I think all my numbers are going to double. It's a real powerhouse episode coming up.
Hell yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to that. But yeah, my numbers ever since around the 1st of November last year have just exploded. It's just been incredible, beyond my wildest dreams.
Now, how did you get into this? How did you get interested in like Anunnaki and ancient alien theory? How did you get involved?
It all started when I was about 10 years old in a little town called Highland, Illinois, which is about 45 miles to the northeast of St. Louis, Missouri. We were sitting down to dinner one night. As I said, I was about 10. My brother was 6 and my sister was 2, I guess, at that time. And we heard this weird noise outside. And it was kind of like a siren, but not exactly, kind of a whirring siren noise. My parents assumed it was an ambulance or a police car. And having grown up in St. Louis, because that's where we were from originally, they've seen more than their share of police cars and fire trucks and all that sort of thing. So they weren't at all interested. But being that I was a 10-year-old boy, I wanted to see it. So I ran outside onto the back porch. Nobody else left the table, just me. I get outside and I'm you know how your brain kind of follows the sound? So I get out there and I'm like, and here we had this big tree in the backyard that separated our property from the next door neighbors. And right above this big tree, just sitting there, was this UFO. Now, when I was a kid, I was a very weak kid. I was not very strong. I could not have done it then. But if I was in that same situation now, I was so close, I could have easily thrown a rock and hit it. That's how close I was to this. Wow. I got a real up close and personal look at this craft. And I know what I saw. Okay. And back then in the 60s, it was swamp gas. Venus, the planet.
China lantern.
Kiss my ass. I know what I saw. It wasn't swamp gas and it wasn't the planet. This was a craft with the lights and it just hovering above this tree. And it stayed there for maybe 7 seconds. And then it was like when it went away, it made a ripple in the atmosphere so you could see which direction it went, but it was gone. I mean, it was just like, and it was just gone. Now, there's no way that we had craft that could do that kind of stuff in 1969. I'm sorry.
You still don't.
No, I know what I saw. Yeah. And that got me going on all of it. And then once we moved up to Minnesota in 72, that was right around the time that, Eric Von Daniken came out with the Chariots of the Gods films. And I went by myself. All my friends thought I was a lunatic. We have no interest in that. So I went by myself, saw those movies, and it just changed my life. You know, I had always been the type, I was raised a Christian. We Bible school every Sunday, all this. But I was always the type, I was from Missouri. You have to show me. Don't just tell me something and expect me to believe it. I need proof. Yeah. And I was the kind of kid in Sunday school that would always be asking the questions. Well, why is God one time he's all pissed off and the next time he's lovey-dovey and then one time he says this and the next time he changes his mind and said that. And the only response I ever got was the Lord works in strange ways. You just have to believe. And I'm as a little kid, I'm thinking, bullshit. Something's wrong with this story, okay? So when I discovered the whole thing in the 80s with Zachariah Sitchin and the Anunnaki, that just changed my life, because every question I ever had about why the Torah or the first six books of the Old Testament make absolutely no sense the way they're written, once I discovered what was really going on and read the original stories in the Sumerian texts from thousands of years earlier, told the correct way, it all falls in place and it all makes sense. So from that point on, I was hooked, and that was it.
Boom. I mean, because the Anunnaki are one of, must have been one of our first case files, like maybe 20 in or something. We got onto the Anunnaki, we're talking about Nibiru and they come. So we're familiar with all the names, but the actual like history, because this last week preparing for the talk with you, I was listening to Anunnaki Connection and all these other Anunnaki shows, and it is so much deeper, like the lore. It's
immensely deep. Yeah, there's no way you can even cover it. If you had a show that lasted 6 hours, you couldn't cover the whole thing.
Because what, it's like Zachariah Sitchin's work covers like what, 7 books?
12.
I think that he's
12
like
books.
12 books, yeah, 12 yeah. of his, and then
he has a few
those,
more after yeah. that where he basically rehashes everything from right. the 12 books. So right. yeah, I mean, I can keep my show going. Last year was year one for my program. Before that, as I mentioned before we went on the air, I was doing a comedy show with toys and stuff called Mad Mark and Maynard Show. But anyway, this show I've been doing for a year now, and last year I only covered 2 of his books, which means I could keep this going for at least another 6 years.
So. Well, yeah, and it's a huge topic. And not only that, it's like it's I mean, you can kind of get personal and anecdotal with a lot of it too, and to, like tie into current events and.
Well, right. And I do that. And I also do, as I said before we went on the air, I also have shows where I deal with raising your consciousness, because that's something that I'm very into for the last 6 years. I've been on that path. And we do shows on I got a show coming up on Saturday here now, a brand new episode where we delve into why are humans so into all of their ridiculous labels. I mean, it is just absolutely ridiculous how many labels we like to pile on ourselves throughout our lives. And that whole show is going to look into that whole thing. So
now, for people who are not familiar with the Anunnaki, I know it's such a broad subject, but can we let's go like a little a quick backstory of the Anunnaki through your okay. findings reading Zachariah Sitchin, because we've talked about it, but we're dummies. We really don't know anything.
Well, you know, I don't blame. I don't call yeah. yourself dummies. Okay, there is so much, as you
I'll,
said.
I would like to use the R word, but I'll refrain.
Incredibly huge. I mean, every aspect of they're still here. Every yeah. aspect of our lives, they have some. They've touched in some way or another. Our government, everything. I mean, people always talk about, oh, you know, the president and Congress and everything. They're not the ones really running the show. There's a shadow government behind the scenes that's really running everything. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And they're called the Anunnaki. They have been running this planet since day one. They created us. They never left. You know, they've been running the show the whole damn time. It's really fascinating when you really delve into it.
So let's start with that then, because that's all what it is. The humans, we don't fit the evolution timeline. We seem to pop out of nowhere. And the theory
Absolutely.
About the Anunnaki, the ancient astronaut, they came here from their
450,000 years ago.
Right, came. Their planet was Nibiru for whatever yep. reason. Their atmosphere was poisoned or failing.
No, it was deteriorating. They had. They are extremely warrior species. Okay, they fight amongst each other all the time. That's just the way they are. They're very similar to humans, in fact, looks and everything else, but they also have differences. And one of them is, well, of course, humans are rather warrior-like too, but these guys take it to the ninth, or the next level. I mean, they just constantly fight. Well, they had a lot of nuclear battles on their planet, and because of that, they started, their atmosphere began to deteriorate. And they could, you know, that was going to be the end of their species if they didn't do something to fix it. So they tried, the first attempt was to, they have a very volcanic planet. It's like 10 times the size of Earth, and it's full of volcanoes, and they feed the atmosphere. The volcanoes do. So their first theory was, well, maybe what we should do is set off like atomic weapons in the volcanoes to make them spurt more often, because they noticed that they were not erupting as often as they had been, and they thought that was the problem. Well, that didn't work. That just caused a whole new ball of wax problems. So they came up with the idea. Their scientists said, well, if we could somehow suspend really finely ground gold particles up into the atmosphere, it would act like a fake shield that would hold our atmosphere in. Problem is, there was no gold on Nibiru. So where are we, you know, they only knew of one place in their creation story of the way the solar system was created way, way, way back. The only place where there was gold in our solar system was a planet called Tiamat. Okay, and Tiamat sat where the asteroid belt sits now. And when Nibiru, it has an extremely elongated orbit. You know, ours is more circular around the moon. Theirs is like way out and way in and way out.
So isn't it like tens of thousands of years?
3,600-year cycle for them to make one. Yeah. It's called a char. One orbit around, they call it a char. Takes 3,600 years. Well, on one of these passes, way back before even they were up to the, you know, before they were intelligent species, when all these planets were originally being created, way back when, on one of the passes of Nibiru, it has a bunch of moons around it and everything else. Well, one of these moons crashed into Tiamat and blew it into two parts, okay? One part became the asteroid belt. You know, scientists to this day, oh, we have no idea what created the asteroid belt. Well, we do now know. We now know.
We know.
Because it was that collision. Half of it created the asteroid belt. The other half got pushed one rotation past Mars into where it is now, and that became the Earth. And that's how that all fell into place. So they knew that there had been gold on Tiamat, which was now the asteroid belt. So that was their first choice. We'll go mine asteroids and get the gold. So they tried that. Every time they tried it, their ships would get smashed into by the other asteroids, and it didn't work. So the only other option that they had was to come to Earth, which again was difficult because they had to go through the asteroid belt every time they want to come here. But they figured out a way to do it. It's a long story. I'm not going to go into all that unless you want me to. But they figured out a way to get through, and they started coming here. They found the gold, and they've been here ever since. What happened was their own people were the miners for the first several, I don't have all the numbers in front of me, but several thousand years. And then the workers revolted. And they said, we're not doing this anymore.
Those workers are called the Igigi or something?
Igigi. Yeah. Igigi. Yeah. And they had a way station on Mars. And what they would do is they would mine the gold, load it onto these ships, ship it to the way station on Mars where it would be refined and ground into the fine gold powder that they needed. And then from there, it would ship to Nibiru. And now I can't remember where I was going with that.
The workers revolted.
Oh, yeah, the workers revolted. And so Enki, who was one of the two main brothers involved, the royalty, the two heirs to the throne were Enki and Enlil. Enki was the great scientist, and he came up with this idea. Hey, the creature we need to do our work for us, it already exists on this planet. We just need to give it some smarts. It's too stupid to know how to do what we needed to do and follow instructions. So they took their DNA, mixed it with Homo erectus, and boom, humans were created. And that is how we got here.
Now, like, do we know, from what I was reading, so they essentially, like, artificially inseminated, you know, like a hominid human, and which is really reminiscent of, like, the Immaculate Conception, right? Like, it's
right. The first humans were like mules. They were hybrids. They could not reproduce. So every time they needed a new human, they had to bring in an Anunnaki birth mother and take their mixture that he came up with, the genetic code, and impregnate the Anunnaki female. And then she'd have to, and it just got to be a massive pain in the ass. And that ended up leading to the story in the Bible, which is completely wrong, but what actually happened at the Garden of Eden, which was the Eden, E-D-I-N, facility. It was a human research and development laboratory, and that is where they started making humans who could reproduce. What happened was, Enlil was he ran the whole show here on planet Earth. He was the top dog. You wanted to get anything done, you had to go through him. And Enlil, his half-brother, basically hated Enlil, or Enki, his half-brother, I should say. Enki did not like Enlil. The two of them were constantly at odds. And he decided to go behind Enlil's back and go ahead and give humans the ability to procreate. And that's what happened, that whole story about, the knowing and the snake and a...
Well, it even parallels the story of, like, Cain and Abel, the brothers that don't like each other. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Well, right. It's not that the one was jealous of the other.
That's what happened in the Garden of Eden. So now you know that true story.
So they take Homo erectus, mix their Anunnaki DNA, Homo sapiens pop out.
Yep.
So Neanderthals and all the other hominids were here, but they chose.
Those were all failed. No, though. Those were all failed attempts.
Okay.
I'm simplifying this whole thing, but we're talking, this all happened over a period of literally thousands of years.
Oh, so we're talking like
so many times to make
like,
this.
We're like Mark 400.
Yeah. They tried, I don't know how many times to get it right.
So all the other hominids were like an offshoot, failed experiments of a pre-hominid, pretty much an ape then.
Until
they got it right, when they finally got the right person that they wanted, that was the Adamu, which is where Adam comes from. Yeah. The perfect human was the Adamu.
I can't be the only person that's thought that, like, you know, human, us as a species, like, yeah, we live in our houses, we have all this infrastructure and stuff, but it's like, you drop me in the woods naked, I'm dead.
You're toast.
Like, yeah, you know what I mean? Absolutely. Like, I don't really survive anywhere. My skin's brittle. If I'm walking, I'm getting cut. Like, I'm prone to infection if I'm getting cut. Like, yes, I'm resilient, but like it feels like that there is no real safe space on Earth where you can just be free and naked.
Ask yourself this. Why are so many of us, including myself, so allergic to all these plants and things on our own freaking planet? It makes no sense. That should never have happened. The reason we have crap like that is because of the Anunnaki DNA. You would not believe the problems that they had coming here. I mean, for one thing, they couldn't get used to the short days and nights. That just threw them for a loop. They couldn't deal with that. Oh, my God, the days are so damn short on this planet. You know, it's day and then it's night, and then it's day and then it's night. They couldn't deal with that. But that was just the beginning of it. We had different animals here than they had. We had different plant life here than they had. We had so many different things that it took them forever to get used to.
Well, that was that was a question I had, too. Okay, I'll go first, Andrew. My question was, so if they could live on Earth, that means Nibiru must have been a similar makeup.
Oh, yeah.
Oxygen and carbon.
Well, again, it all goes back to that collision when Tiamat got slammed into.
Right.
And half of it became the asteroid belt and the other half became Earth. At that same time, a lot of Earth's and their own planets, you can imagine a collision this size. There was a lot of shit going on in space at that time when that happened. DNA got swapped. So in other words, the Anunnaki or several thousand, I don't know if it's 400,000 or 500,000 years ahead of us time-wise as beings created. But, oh, shit, now I forgot where I was going with that.
How we're so similar, how they could live here.
Oh, right. Yeah. We are cousins. They're right. Way ahead of us, but we're cousins. The DNA is basically the same on both. Like I said, there's different plants and animals and things like that, but the DNA structure of the things on their planet is extremely close to ours, which is why Enki knew he could make this work when he was trying to create humans. He said, this is not going to be that big a deal because their structure is basically us 5,000 years ago.
Well, and to that argument, if people are like, well, that doesn't make, you know, different planets, it's like, well, we look at, like, now, before it seemed rare that there'd be an Earth-like planet out there, and now we're finding planets in the Goldilocks zone everywhere.
Absolutely.
Everywhere. Absolutely. So we're like, you know, and now it's just narrowing down, like, what could possibly work. So if you had like an advanced race that had already done that, they're like, yeah, you know, there's one, there's also one here that would work for us. Like,
yeah,
if it's all the same.
If we didn't have laws to prevent it, we could create people. We could create all kinds of things.
They're doing it in
China.
Yeah,
there's laws against it.
I just seen Jim Carrey look nothing like Jim Carrey. So
yeah, that's true. Yeah.
No, and then just to in there now, did the Anunnaki, because you obviously made it clear that they had access to higher genetic manipulation technology and things like this, did they have some kind of aversion to AI or something like that? Was there a reason?
Yeah, there was. They were afraid of it. They said if we create AI that reaches a certain level of intelligence, it could backfire and take us over. So they said that is a last resort. They did have robots, but not very many. They did not like to really do a lot of stuff with robots because they didn't trust them. Is that eventually they could get powerful enough and say, we don't need you anymore, you know?
Like, did they have their own Terminator? Did they have their own worker? Did they have like a caste system or a class system? Because you said they had workers, like they were doing the work before.
Well, you had there was a king of Nibiru. His name there were several kings, but the one that we're talking about was Anu. He had two sons, Enki and Enlil. Those are the two who came down here to Earth. So you have your royal family, just like any country that has a king and a queen and all that. You have your royal family, and then the next class down and the next class down. And, well, these were the working class that they brought here to do the mining.
It's so weird to think that kings on Earth might be just people trying to recreate.
I got news for you. Every king that's ever been, going back as far as you want, they were all put in place by the Anunnaki. They are hereditarily their descendants. You see, the Anunnaki are not only warrior people, but they're extremely horny. I don't know if you're aware of that or not. They will screw pretty much anything that moves.
I think that's proven with Prince Philip.
And that was what the whole Great Flood deal was about. You know, you read it in the Bible and it makes no sense. Why would God destroy? I mean, none of it makes any sense at all. But what happened was
Nephilim, right?
Well, I'll get to that. That's a biblical term. That's not even in the Sumerian text. But what happened was, crap. Now I lost my train of thought again.
You're telling me you slept 8 hours straight last night?
Didn't wake up once. First time in like 8 years.
All right. What are these things?
They're called Sleepy Time Advanced Gummies from Mood.com.
So you just get high and go to sleep? THC's always made me weird, Nancy.
That's what I thought too. But it's not just THC, it's CBD and CBN too.
And it actually knocks you out?
Not like a pill where you feel drugged. It's more like your brain finally shuts up.
Wow. Nice. But what about the morning? Foggy, fuzzy, tired?
That's the thing. No grogginess. I wake up and I'm just awake!
And it's legal, though?
100%. Totally federally legal, like 2018 Farm Bill legal.
Where do people get these?
Just search Sleepy Time Gummies on Mood.com and use the code ALIEN to get 20% off your first order.
Yeah, I need to try this. And if it doesn't work for me, can I get my money back?
Absolutely! They give you 100 days to try all their stuff.
Okay. I'm ordering these right now.
Do it and report back, good buddy.
We're talking about Great Flood.
Oh, yes, the Great Flood. What happened was, when they first came here originally, 450,000 years ago, the Earth was still in its last ice age, okay? So it was ice at one end, ice at the bottom, top, and then in the middle was the only area where there was land and water and, you know, whatever. And, crap. Lost my train of thought again.
Where you're talking Great Flood. Great Flood, you were explaining.
Okay. So what happened was over the thousands of years that they were here, the ice caps and all that began melting. Okay. Yeah. And So yeah, I'm trying to get this all in place here. Like I say, I don't have any cheat sheets in front of me, and this is such a vast story.
We don't want cheat sheets.
No. Okay. So what happened was, our planet began to thaw, and their planet, by coincidence, just happened to be coming close enough to Earth at that particular time. Whenever it comes close to Earth, because it's so much bigger than we are, it's a massive pull on our Earth's gravitation. So their scientists figured out, hey, you know, these ice caps are melting, everything's getting slushy, it's getting kind of dangerous. The next time Nibiru comes by, if the pole is just in such a particular way, there was a big ice sheet in the Antarctic, the South Pole, and it was weak. And they said, our planet comes back around, if it hits it just right, that whole damn thing is going to crack right off and fall into the ocean. If that happens, it's going to cause a devastating flood over our whole region of the planet. Everything we've worked so hard to build is going to be wiped out. Well, when Enlil found out about that, he said, good, I don't want them damn humans. That's why in the Bible story, you got these, it sounds like God's got, you know, separation angst, or he's arguing with himself because one minute he wants them dead, next minute, oh no, I got to save some. So Enlil decides, wipe them out. I want them all gone. We never should have created them. It's been nothing but a pain in the ass. I want to start from scratch again. We're going to let them all die. Well, Enki, who created us, could not allow that to happen. So that's when he went behind Enlil's back and saved some people. And that's what the whole, his actual name was Ziasudra, and they turned him into Noah in the Bible. But yeah, he gets saved, but that's how you have that whole thing in the Bible. You read it, it doesn't make any sense. One minute, oh, let them all die. Next minute, oh no, we got to save. That's because there were two different people involved in that conversation.
Well, it's interesting because
when you read it in the actual Sumerian, it makes perfect sense.
It's not just the Bible,
and you think this God's nuts. He's got multiple personalities. You don't know what the hell he's doing. You know, but when you read the actual story, it makes all perfect sense.
It's not just the Bible that has a massive flood story like this either. Like every single major religion has a great flood.
Yeah, it came up from Antarctic when that thing cracked off and that iceberg cracked off. And it sent a tidal wave right up Africa and the Middle East, that whole area. It just went up and wiped it. It wasn't a worldwide flood, but it was definitely a Southern Hemisphere flood.
Well, because we've talked about it before, too, on the on our show. But like Göbekli Tepe being where it is, like so way above sea level, like no real source of water. And it like, based on modern science, it seems to be the birthplace of agriculture. And you're just like, and they just backfilled everything.
That whole Göbekli Tepe is Anunnaki. That whole thing was built by them. That wasn't human beings. That's another question I always had as a kid, especially seeing Chariots of the Gods. You know, we've got all these buildings all over the world that humans, at the time those buildings were built, did not have the technology to build. So who built that?
Survive.
Yeah, they were out there still with, you know, sticks and stones, and yeah, they didn't have that. We're talking like two generations after the first human was created. There's no way that before you can build a structure like a lot of those structures, you have to, if you're an architect, you're aware that all has to be planned out. Everything's got to be measured. You've got to have schematics. You've got to have all this stuff. Forget. They couldn't. There's no way they could have done it. So, you know, I mean, the way that those bricks fit together so perfect, you can't even get a piece of paper in between them. I mean, no mortar, just stacked. And how did they transport them and cut them? There's no way.
How did they do it? That's a question.
It was all Anunnaki. Humans didn't do it. That's what I'm saying. No, they were so far ahead of us technologically. Lasers, they cut it with lasers, a lot of it.
Anti-gravity
they had the
stuff.
Ability to lift without, what do you call that when you can just use your, They use different tones, different sounds to raise heavy objects up. They didn't need to have a big machine come and, you know, their technology is so far ahead of us.
It's magic to us.
That's what it looks like. It does, because when you don't understand something right away, and of course they masqueraded around as gods, and the humans went along with it because, well, shit, they created us. They must be gods. Well,
a lot of those mega structures or those megalithic structures, like they served, as far as the Anunnaki concerned, they served a lot of functional purposes. Like, I think, was it ziggurats or spaceports
They had temples, all kinds of the pyramids. Everybody always talks about the pyramids. The pyramids were built, okay, before the flood, before the great flood, their spaceport was in Mesopotamia, because that was their base of operations, was
cradle
the whole Iran, Iraq, Sumer area. After the great flood, most of that all got wiped out, so they had to start all over again. So the new spaceport was built several miles to the south of there, kind of equal to horizontal to where Jerusalem and Israel is right now. And they had everything laid out. Originally, they used Mount Ararat as their signal for the craft from Nibiru coming to Earth. They always said, look for those two twin peaks. That will let you know where you come. You follow that line in and there you'll land at our spaceport, okay? When that all got wiped out, they needed a new twin peaks because that was gone. And they, in the area where they were around the Sinai Peninsula, where they decided to build all the new facilities, there was no twin peaks naturally. So they had to create twin mountains, and that was what the pyramids were. And they also, as long as they were going to have to build these two fake mountains, they decided to put different things inside of them for guidance, you know, lights and lasers flashing, you know, like the guy that stands out on the runway and does this crap. You know, they built lights into the thing so that it could, the ships could see it and find the landing strip and, you know, guidance. What I don't know all this airplane lingo, but yeah, you know, whatever you need, that's what the pyramid was.
I always thought that pyramids were like Anunnaki built these pyramids or some type of like power device. That's what I always thought.
A lot of people thought that too. And you know, if you're going to take the time to build something that massive, they probably did give it more than one job. You know, they probably had, it does this and it does that and it does this, but its main purpose was to serve as a landmark and to have the beams coming out that would guide. I've got episodes about all this on my show.
Oh, it makes sense in a way.
That could be used to guide the ships in landing and taking off.
Well, Mad Mark, I don't know if you've ever been to any of the temples in South America, but we've been to Chichen Itza.
Oh, nice.
And we were there and we got a tour. And like, as we were walking the temple, there is, like, for lack of a better word, what landing looks pads. To be landing pads.
Landing pads.
Yeah. Oh, and absolutely.
We said to the guy, we're like, that's for the aliens, right? And they're like,
Yeah, because they only serve a purpose if you're looking at them from the air.
Yeah.
On the ground, it doesn't look like anything.
Why would they have
built it? I mean, it makes no sense. You can only see it from the air. And down there, right near where the Nazca lines, is that where you around that area too?
No, we were a little further north.
That was in the Mayan.
You know, there's that area, the Nazca lines, where they shaved off an entire mountaintop. It's just flat. Humans couldn't have done that. That you need extensive equipment to do
we did that with just a rock pickaxe.
Yeah,
and
they were out there with
stone tools.
Come on. Tell me, you know, I got a bridge for sale.
And building giant glyphs that can only be appreciated from above. No big deal.
Right. I'm telling you, the deeper you go into this, it's just, there's just no way this is
Truth. It does, I mean, really, like when you look into this topic and you look into like the ancient astronaut theory and Anunnaki, it feels like something's there. Like it truly, you feel like a gut feeling. You're like, feel like there is there's a grain of truth here that is leading me to something.
You know, I love that show, Ancient Aliens. But one thing that always aggravated me about every, and I have the utmost respect for all those guys, Giorgio.
We don't.
And
we
all
don't. Hold on. Giorgio pickpocketed our friend there, Andrew. Stole his wallet.
Yeah, he stole a wallet.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, at AlienCon.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Wow. We're not 100% sure, but.
But we are.
But we
we took a picture with him, and then his wallet was gone. So I don't know
what happened. Wow.
How, what are you supposed to think, right?
Yeah, I suppose. Hey, Anunnaki might have zapped it away on you. That, you know, maybe and
there's, there's a reason you stole it, because you're supposed to pay $50 for a picture with him.
Yeah. Oh.
We did.
Is that really what he does?
Yeah.
$50?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It might have been more, actually.
Wow. Okay. Well, anyway, I love that show.
It's a great show.
But one thing that always bothered me, and it's this way on every episode, these guys know what's going on. Giorgio, all of them that were on that show, they all know the Anunnaki truth. But they also knew if they ever come out and said that on one of their shows, you just explain the whole why keep going with the shows. You don't need them anymore. You know the answer. You know, every show they did, it was always like, well, we're not 100% sure. We think there's a connection here to aliens, but we don't know. Because if they had ever come out and said, it's all Anunnaki crap, that would have been the end of the show. We just figured it out. We're done. You know, and they had to keep it going. So they always had to act like, well, we're not sure. You know, it's kind of weird. But, you know, and they knew the whole, they know about all this. There's no way they don't know about
it. So, Mad Mark, my question to you is, because we've covered all sorts of kind of UFOlogy and stuff like that is, big things that I'm personally interested is like the uptick in UFO events, like after Roswell, right? And then as we come into the
You don't know the connection there?
That's what I'm asking.
After we dropped nukes on Japan.
Yeah.
That was like the red flag. Because see, way back when they brought their nukes here to Earth and they nuked Sodom and Gomorrah. That's what that whole thing was about. And it was right after that event that they said, all right, you know what? If we keep going the way we're going, blowing shit up, we're going to destroy Earth just like we did our own damn planet, and then we're going to have the same problems here that we had there. We've got to pull back. And that's when they receded into the shadows, and Marduk took over the planet, basically, and became the one true God that you read about in the Bible. That's all Marduk, who was the son of Enki. And, yeah, all makes sense.
Did they nuke Sodom and Gomorrah for just the rampant fornication and rule breaking?
No, it had nothing to do with sin.
So why did they fuck it? Why did they nuke it?
They nuked it because it was Marduk's base of operations, and all the other Anunnaki, even Marduk's own family, were against him. He was a super narcissist.
Shit.
He was kind of like a Hitler type guy. You do everything my way. Even Enlil, who was in charge when Marduk rose to power, he said, screw Enlil. You do what I say now. I'm the new top dog on Earth. Well, all the other Anunnaki were against him. He said, hey, bullshit. You know, we all have our little areas here that we govern and we rule. We're not turning everything over to you. So they were all fighting back. And when they discovered that Marduk was doing most of his crap out of those two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. That's where he was getting all his followers in there and telling them what to do. And here's how we're going to take over the Earth and all that. They said, hell, we're dropping bombs on it. We're going to wipe him out. So
Marduk,
that's what that was all about. It had nothing to do with sin or none of that other crap that makes no sense. That's what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Marduk sounds an awful like Moloch.
Who?
Moloch.
Moloch.
All know is pulling the strings.
Moloch, is that the fucking owl god?
No, that's the fucking bull. We're learning all about him now with all the files.
Oh, the
Moloch. Moloch, yeah. That's who
That's like a different pantheon of gods, though, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Marduk and Moloch sounds pretty fucking similar.
Every pantheon of gods is the Anunnaki.
It's based on the Anunnaki.
By different names on different parts of the world. It's all them.
So Greek pantheon.
Zeus was Enlil. Yeah, right. It's all the same. Amun-Ra is Marduk, going by a different name. You know, wherever they went by different names, but it's the same 12 people over and over and over and over again. So, everywhere you look at every pantheon, no matter where it is, it's always 12 people. Mm-hmm. It's the same 12 people everywhere you go.
So, Enlil, Mark,
Enki, Marduk, on and on and on.
what's your thoughts on, you know, we've done tons of case files and talked about events around UFOs kind of disrupting nuclear facilities, whether it be Malmstrom in the United States,
sure,
or Russians talking about their kind of nuclear facilities being interfered with. Is this kind of like the Anunnaki being like, you can't fire nukes? Like, we're not allowing you to kind of do this?
That's exactly what it is. Don't fuck around with nuclear weapons. That's what they're saying. We have the power anytime we want to come down and shut them all off. So they're totally worthless. Quit messing around with them. Mm. You know, you'll never see another nuclear weapon set off on this planet.
And I
never.
Mean, you'll never see it
because they
that.
Will not allow that to happen.
We've theorized that about, is that like, because, you know, there's been various presidential meetings with aliens and stuff like that.
Eisenhower.
Yeah, Eisenhower. Yeah. And basically, we've kind of theorized that, like, they've been told, like, no nukes, and you can't. So it's like, all this, like, posturing is like, no one's firing. Like, no one's firing nukes.
Okay, why do you think I don't watch the news anymore? Yeah. We just attacked social. Kiss my. Who gives a shit?
My thing
it's all bullshit. It's a great big theatrical production.
100%. That's all it is.
And you know why they do it?
Why would you just fire one?
Do you know why they do all that crap? Because what do you do when you watch a show like that? When you turn on the news and see that kind of crap, what's the first reaction?
I get them.
Anger, fear. What is anger and fear? Two extremely low vibrationary
100%.
Vibrations. You are lowering your vibration every time you get angry, every time you get fearful. They want us to be kept at a low vibration because
when I'm angry,
you are
I'm
at a low vibration,
much.
You're not realizing your true divine God power. So that is why every time you turn on a show, every time you turn, it's just keeping you down. I'm done. I don't watch the news. I don't watch anything that's depressing or that keeps me down because I want my vibration up as high as I can have it 24
that's
hours.
You just
want
to watch Alien Earth for the horror aspect. It's so
well,
good.
Well, because you can learn from that.
You can learn from
I
that.
I love educational
show.
Shows where you can learn something.
Okay,
you
know? I had a quick question about the nukes. So if the Anunnaki had nukes on their planet, they had nukes here. They set off a couple. What was there like a rogue Anunnaki who taught humanity about the nuke, like Oppenheimer and the fuck that crew? Or like, how did we get the nuke and then how did we drop it before they intervened?
Did we find one?
Did we find a nuke?
Did we reverse engineer a nuke?
No, I doubt it. I really do. I think we just figured it out. You know, we're not stupid, stupid species. We can learn and figure. I think we just carry their
DNA.
I think they always knew that we would eventually get to that point. So that's why another reason why they never totally left the planet, because they still need gold. This is an ongoing thing for Nibiru. It's never going to be patched. It needs constant replenishing the gold. The last thing they can afford to do is have this planet get destroyed in a nuclear war.
So did they just kind of like part the workout now to like your fucking Middle Eastern dudes hanging around 7-Eleven and their Honda Civic being, buddy, I need gold. What do you want? I just give you $20 per ounce of gold, buddy. What do you want?
Anyone in the parking lot for cash for gold, Anunnaki.
Cash for gold, buddy. Number one good deal.
Ask yourself this. Why, in I believe it was the 70s, did the United States go off of the gold standard?
That's a good question.
Do you really think that gold is still sitting there in Fort Knox?
Hell no. I got news for you.
That shit is long gone.
It's on Nibiru.
Is there any gold left? It's all ground down to monoatomic gold, isn't that the whole thing?
And they don't advertise it. This is all under below the belt. Your sneaky shit. But yeah, they still need it, and they're still taking it. And we're not powerful enough to stop them.
That's why they created Bitcoin.
This is
digital gold.
anything to get us away from the gold. Yeah,
absolutely. This is actually like having this conversation has actually kind of sparked something in me. I'm like, okay.
I'm glad.
We've talked about this. There's a point. If you haven't watched it, Mad Mark, the Bob Lazar interview with Joe Rogan, there's a single part in that interview where Bob Lazar mentions that the United States excavated a craft, and then no one else talks about it. And we fixated on that. We're like, what the hell did you mean excavated?
What do you mean you excavated?
And then when
craft?
We're talking about nukes and we're talking about that era of time where we're chasing, you know, we had Hitler going after, he's looking for DeGlocka.
He's in Antarctica.
I've got a whole show on that.
Right? He's going crazy. Part of me goes like, did we potentially dig up a nuke or some sort of nuclear bomb or some sort of nuclear site that we're like, oh shit. And we're just so good at reverse engineering things. Like if anything drops from anywhere, we're little tinkerers and we're like, all right, we'll figure this out. And part of me now wonders, I'm like, is that where we got the atomic bomb? Is like, did we dig this up?
Well, ask yourself this. Why was Hitler so fixated? And again, like I said, I just did a whole episode just before Christmas on this. Why was he so fixated with this Aryan race? That's all you ever heard of. And he sent people during World War II, when he should have been concentrating on the war, he sends guys all over the Middle East because he knew that there was some kind of a connection there. And he was trying to, of course, he had his own political agenda. If we can find what we're looking for, people will have to believe that we are the master race. So that's why he was looking. But he knew that there was a connection between the white race, the Aryan race, and these Anunnaki. He didn't know it was the Anunnaki, but he knew it was something in the Middle East. And that's why he had people all over that area digging crap up and looking all over these different sites and everything. The Anunnaki were white. I hate to shatter anybody's illusions about, you know, there's a lot of black folks who think they were black. But, I did a whole show on this. The Anunnaki were, in fact, white. Because when they created the first humans, they had a nickname for the first humans. Are you familiar with that?
I don't know.
Honky?
They were called the dark-headed ones. Now, if you are a black species and you create your own slave race who also is black, are you going to name them the dark-headed ones? I don't think so. The Anunnaki were white. That's what Hitler was looking for all around the Middle East, was proof. He knew that there was a connection there to a white superior race that came from that area, but he just couldn't put the pieces together.
We got to give a caveat. The white superior race is technically not humans. It's from a different planet.
Right.
We're not saying
absolutely.
Nothing.
Yeah.
And if you're from a planet.
He knew there was a connection, but he missed the boat. That race he was looking for
here
was
it is,
from
though.
Another
if you're
planet.
From a, if you're absolutely. From a planet that's whatever, like. We call it Planet X or the 12th planet or whatever. Sitchin was the 12th planet, right? As we said, he counted like the moon and another planet as
right. Yeah. The nine planets plus.
But if you're
Nibiru
that far from
the
sun,
moon. Yeah,
you would be translucent to get every bit of sun ray you could.
Yeah, they don't hardly ever get any sun. They are as white as snow.
It's interesting you say that, because you would think at some point humans would have evolved to not get fucking sunburned.
You would think.
You right? Like you that genuinely.
Like I say, I did a whole show on this, and boy, if you think humans, I didn't get some shit on my social media.
Oh, I'm sure we're going to get a ton of shit, too.
Because on my social media, what I do to promote my show is every day on Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram, I post two, like the ones you saw, two little 30-second teasers from the episode. The whole reason for that is to try to get people over to Spotify and YouTube to watch the whole program.
Yeah.
But people see those little clips and they think that's my whole message. They don't realize that that's just a promotional clip.
The aliens are white. I said it.
Yeah. And so they heard this shit about, oh, the aliens are white, or the first humans ever created were black, and all the racism shit starts coming in. The blacks are in there yelling, oh, we were great. No, we're the greatest. No, that's the exact opposite effect of what I was trying to accomplish with those posts.
The aliens were white. Because they live 10 billion miles from the sun.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no way that they were.
Sure, scientifically speaking, you would have translucent skin if you were that. If we had the same genetics and anatomy as that Anunnaki, they would be translucent because they'd be getting no vitamin D that
Well, they
far
do
away.
Get a little bit of sun because
little,
their planet
I mean, but
does
it would be
go
so
around
little.
The sun, but it's for such a short amount of time that, yeah, it's really
the rays would
have
be so weak
on.
At that distance that you're getting almost zero energy from the sun.
Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. And I proved that on my show. I told them, I said, they got up. You talk about anger. Oh, man, the black people were pissed because I said the Anunnaki were white, and the white people were pissed because I said the first humans were black. I mean, it just fighting back and forth at totally
and at the same
if
time
they'd
that
have
makes
taken
sense,
the time to watch the entire episode and got the message I was trying to portray, which that whole episode is about why racism exists, because at some point in time, right around the 1400s, was when the white people began to, for some reason, think that they were superior to the, not all of them, but some of them began to think they were somehow superior to the blacks and other races. And I suggest that the reason for that, and there's a term for it, which I don't have right in front of me here, you have to watch the show, but I lay it all out. It's got something to do with past memories. They were starting, the white gene was starting to remember a time when the white Anunnaki were the slave owners of these black humans. And it all goes back to that. I lay the whole thing out. You'd have to watch the episode.
The term you're looking for is white supremacy.
Well, that's what they think. That's what they're white. You know, that's where racism comes from.
Well, I just want to say, on the same point, if the Anunnaki were white, it would make sense that if the first people were in Africa for mining gold, and the sun is that strong there, it would just adaptation would give you dark skin.
Well, Homo erectus, the creatures that they created us from, were black. That was a planetary-wide black species.
It makes more sense.
So obviously, if you take a black Homo erectus and add your DNA to it, it's going to turn out to be a black person.
It's a dominant gene. Black,
yeah, the dominant gene.
Dark skin and brown eyes are the dominant gene.
Black. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And that's why they were called the dark-headed ones. That was their nickname that the Anunnaki gave them. Well, if the Anunnaki had been black, why in the hell would you call your slaves the dark-headed one? It makes no sense. You
know? I mean, they're making a distinction to the species they've created.
Right. Yep.
So, but I could see if someone just scrolling TikTok and they seen a clip that was 10 seconds long, you'd be like, wait a minute.
God, I'm telling you, it was fierce. Yeah, and I just kept telling him, go watch the whole, I ain't got time to go and watch a whole.
Context, blah, 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 you know, context is not mad. Taken into
people
want to
be outraged. It's just better that way.
Okay, so we got the Anunnaki. They've created humans hundreds of thousands of years ago. They've pulled back, but they still pull the strings like a shadow government. So how do they do that? Like, is it like a...
Well, it's their descendants. You see, I talked about this before, how horny they were.
Yeah.
They love having sex with, at that time anyway, I'm not sure, I'm sure they're still doing it. But anyway, back in the day when they first created humans, they could not stop having sex with human females. They just absolutely adored the human female.
I have to stop. I got a question right here. It's been on my mind for a while. Because Anunnaki, maybe I'm wrong about this, but I've always thought that they were like 10, 12, or like they were tall.
12 feet.
14 feet
Not
tall.
That tall. Nope, I know. No. There, a lot of people say that, but if they were that huge, the parts wouldn't fit together right, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Okay. That was my question.
Yeah. They're only like 7 to 8 feet tall,
but
in
still,
reality.
7 to 8 feet
tall. So like NBA players.
Well, that's the average female 400,000 years ago was probably like 4'7". So it still makes
it. I don't know. They made it work.
Tough. I know.
Somehow they made it work.
Well, maybe they just got little fucking peckers,
So much for the superior race.
Yeah, and Anunnaki's like a silverback gorilla, you know? It's got tiny little fucking.
Because they were creating these offspring who were half human and half Anunnaki, that's where you get that Nephilim and all that. But that's
Those are biblical
terms. They never use those terms.
What terms do they use for that then?
Just their offspring.
They're just Anunnaki.
But it's
still
those offspring that are now running the planet.
So a whole
They're human beings, but they are the descendants of these Anunnaki.
So the
Rothschilds, like Billy Carson, he made the connection. He said,
"So do they have like primogeniture? Is it like the oldest son takes over whatever
everything their is? Controls, yeah, everything is what's that word?
And
they
if you're half Anunnaki, you get full control as a full-blooded Anunnaki, like when they were
at the start
doing what they were doing at the start.
The full Anunnaki's ran the show,
right?
But they would dictate. Now they made the first kings were half human, half Anunnaki.
So did they get recognized? Was there a process that like the half Anunnaki, like
why do you think people like the royal family protect their bloodline so much? That's another thing. I mean, you go all around the world, there are these families that have all the money that are very careful about who they breed with and who they allow their children to marry. They protect that bloodline. Why? Because that's the Anunnaki bloodline. That's why they're so concerned about it. You know, they would rather have sex with their own sisters and brothers, some of these people, than to actually go outside the family because they've got to preserve that bloodline. So that's important.
That's my question continues on that. So if you have an Anunnaki bloodline, do these Anunnaki like offspring, even though they're now mainly human after all these generations, do they have like a form of like telekinesis that they can communicate with their Anunnaki out? Because the Anunnaki must be out at Nibiru or out in space. Like, where are the?
No, they got bases all over the planet.
They're still on the planet then.
Oh yeah. Like, yep, they're just not.
Are they under the water? Because we always talk about these transmedium crafts.
They're underwater. They're on the dark side of the moon. They're on where that whole area, the Four Corners area, 51, and all that crap out there. That's them. They got stuff in. I've seen people talk about. Oh, I saw this craft, and it was heading right for this big mountain, and all of a sudden, I thought it was going to crash, and it just disappeared. They're inside mountains. You know, I mean,
that's Pine Gap in Australia.
Yeah, wherever they can find us, a place where humans won't come, they go in there.
So they're still here. They're still pulling the strings from on planet or slightly off planet through their Anunnaki offspring, which are these bloodlines which have continued for now
thousands of years. Yeah, Billy Carson had a theory. He said, well, you know, the Rothschilds, that's a very wealthy family on planet Earth. Right? He said that actually stands for Ra's child, and Amun-Ra was Marduk. Okay, so Ra's child would be where they got that name Rothschild. So I don't know if that's true, but I would believe it. I mean, they got a lot of money. They probably are Anunnaki descendants, I would imagine.
Mad Mark, I got a question here. We've talked about a lot of different cases of UFOs and contactees and experiencers. What are your thoughts on people who like are experiencing having abductions of like different species and different races? Like we've heard of like the tall grays and like reptilians and all those kind of things. How does that fit into the Anunnaki theory?
Okay. Except for the ancient Sumerian texts, which is where I get all of my information from, and hearsay, of course, people will talk. Everybody's got a freaking story. You know, that's why I always tell people don't even believe what I'm saying. Look this crap up for yourself, you know, because everybody's got a line and a story, something they're peddling. You know, if you don't believe what I'm saying, look it up. But getting back to what you were talking about there, what was the question again? I'm sorry.
Just what do you think about the like different experiencers seeing like reptilians?
Except for the ancient
grays.
Sumerian texts, there is no documented proof of any dragon, draconians, none of this others. It's not written down anywhere that these people exist. And I have to believe that if they did exist, the Anunnaki would have known about them and written about them. So it would have been in those texts. And there is nothing in those texts about any of these other races coming here from anywhere else. No mention about the Pleiades, none of this. And that's one of the areas where Billy Carson and I have issues, because show me where is it in the text where they talk about any of that? It's not there. So again, it's just theories and things like that. My belief is that you've heard people talk about being abducted by Nordic aliens who were maybe 7 to 8 feet tall, very blonde haired, very white skin. Those are Anunnaki. Yes, absolutely.
So they're a little shorter than
the only ones that I think are abducting anybody. And the reason they're doing it is to just, it's like if we had a cattle ranch, occasionally you'd want to go out and get some specimens to test to make sure that everything's staying pure and the way it's supposed to be and that everything's going to plan. That's all that is. It's just good medicine. You know, Enki was the great master scientist. You know, it's probably him still up there checking on all these bloodlines.
I feel like some of these people that they're picking up, they're trying to figure out what the fuck happened. Like,
yeah, because they always run genetic.
Why does this guy have no teeth and his eyes are looking opposite directions? Like something would happen. This is a bad mix.
And they may be creating hybrids. I mean, Enki created all kinds of crap. It's all written in like the Emerald Tablets of Thoth. He goes into some of that stuff. I mean, he had creatures. I wouldn't be surprised if dragons weren't real. I wouldn't be surprised because he created all kinds of monsters. He loved to take DNA from different things and create something new. He was always doing that.
We've talked about that.
And a lot of times the shit he created was a monster, destructive, you know, that would rip shit apart. And the humans weren't allowed to kill these creatures because they were created by the gods. So it was hands off. It can destroy your whole damn town. Tough shit. Move somewhere else. You do not kill that creature because God created it, you know. And so they couldn't even kill these creatures he was creating. Oh, it's all, it's crazy. The stuff that's in there.
Hey, we've kept you for the full hour.
Well, but I caused you to be late, so.
Hey, don't. Hey,
no, we actually were right on time, to be honest.
Do not apologize for that. We're late literally all the time, so that's nothing on
you. No,
here.
You're not we're late. You, you arrive precisely when you mean to.
Ah, there you go. There you go. Well, gentlemen, it has been a great pleasure. I must say, I've had an excellent time being here.
Hell yeah, Mad Mark. Right on. Where can the people find you? What's the best place to go? Where can they search you up?
Well, the best place to go to find all my stuff is madmarktv.com. That's my website. And on that website, you can find links to my Spotify shows, my YouTube channel. Boy, there's all kinds of stuff on there. My Spotify playlists, my album.
You got an album? Wait, stop. You got an album?
I have an album, yes.
What's it called?
Mad Mark Sings.
Mad Mark Sings?
Let's go.
Oh, my God. Can I play one right now? Mad Mark Sings?
It's actually an album that me and some friends of mine recorded back in 1986, but we never did nothing with it because we didn't have the funds to get it out to the... So it just laid there and died. So I thought, hey, why not bring that back? I'll rename it Mad Mark Sings and we'll
Song
start
of the Week.
It.
Song of the Week, yeah, so, Mad Mark Sings. What's your favorite song off the album? I'm going to give it a shout out.
Lindendale Park. Absolutely.
Lindendale Park, track one off Mad Mark Sings on Spotify or wherever you listen to music. Go check it out.
Go check this guy's stuff out. He's
Who are
up.
The aliens,
awesome.
The history of the Anunnaki on planet Earth, Mad Mark TV, all that good shit. We'll make sure to include all that stuff in the podcast description.
Am I going to get a link to see a copy or so I can watch this show? 100%.
Yeah, if you could share it with your followers and stuff, that we'd appreciate
Absolutely.
It. Yeah, we'll make Absolutely. Sure to send you everything
and
you need.
Anytime you want to come back on, open invitation.
Oh, you just ask me. Anytime. I've had a great time. Beautiful. I'll do this anytime you want.
Perfect.
We're going to have Mad Mark on speed dial here pretty quick.
That'd be great.
We got a question.
Mad Mark, we got one question for Anunnaki here.
Gentlemen, anytime. Just contact. You know how to get a hold of me. Anytime. I'd be more than happy to talk to you.
All right, just stay on the line for a second. I'm going to end the stream. We're going to make sure your audio uploads, and we're going to come back with after hours for everyone else listening. Thank you very much. Peace.
Keep those eyes on the skies.